Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes Podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. This past week, the Colts paid a not-so-friendly visit to our old friend Frank Reich in Carolina, and they ruined his Sunday, just like that. The Colts ended its three-game skid with a win against the hapless Panthers. The score ended with a wide margin, and there seemed to be a significant talent gap, but the game could have been much closer, much closer. The Colts entered that game without many of its best players, yet still came away with the win. I want to dig into that one and see what this win means for our team going forward. Stay with me, Colts fans. First of all, the broadcast was great, just great. The Colts, sadly, have been relegated to the C or maybe the D team of broadcasters this year, mostly guys I've never heard of. There are no primetime games, and if you ask me, it's just punishment for that poor product Jimmy Irsay and Jeff Saturday put out there for the final 8 weeks of the 22 season. What an embarrassment that was. So, you know, I get it. The Colts haven't exactly received the star treatment this year, but this past Sunday was a glad departure from that cruel punishment. The TV broadcast featured the sweet vocal tones of renowned broadcaster Kevin Harlan. The texture of his voice is synonymous with good football, and basketball really for that matter. I'm not sure the Colts held up their end of the deal, but the broadcast was textured and rich nonetheless. Harlan not only sweetened the experience with his signature tones, he dropped staggering stats along the way that I think deserve to be mentioned here. To be honest, the broadcast was difficult to hear on my end since my three sons were creating racket-level noise, but when I did hear the TV speakers amidst the chaos, it was a sweet experience, and the telling stats were an added bonus. For instance, Harlan said this during the broadcast: Gardner Minshew is blitzed on 40% of dropbacks, which is the highest rate in the NFL. I think that's a noteworthy number. This tells us what defenses are doing. They're pushing the line of scrimmage, focusing heavily on the run, and pressuring Gardner to win through the air. Too many times, Gardner and Steichen have acquiesced and fell victim to that trap, looking to throw instead of run. But Gardner hasn't performed well under blitz pressure. This blitz stat is helpful, though, because it tells us what defenses are doing. Now, Steichen needs to develop a better plan to beat it. Conversely, this stat was shared in the broadcast. The Colts have the lowest blitz rate in the league. And, you know, I just don't understand that. We've seen that this defense has athletic players who can get to the quarterback when assigned. Kenny Moore can do it. EJ Speed can do it. Old Shaq could, although I'm not so sure about new Shaq. Either way, I think this is an untapped resource that could help the struggling quarterbacks who are losing the battle against wide receivers. Kevin Harlan's voice was a pleasant change, but he wasn't the player of the game. No, that was cornerback Kenny Moore. Wow, what a performance. I'm sure you've heard by now that Sunday, Kenny Moore became the first Colts player ever to record two interceptions for two touchdowns in the same game. He was spectacular. This game and this type of performance couldn't have happened at a better time to a better person. If you remember, Kenny started last season with what was called a hold-in. He was looking for more money even though he was still under contract for a couple more seasons. And it wasn't great timing. We talked about this on the podcast. Kenny was coming off one of his worst seasons as a Colt. He hadn't yet fit into Gus Bradley's defense. Well, the Colts didn't offer him a new deal, and Kenny played. And he struggled last year, too. I would argue that the 21 and 22 seasons were the worst two of his career. But this year has been altogether different. Kenny Moore has been the one stabilizing cornerback in the secondary. And Sunday, he reminded Colts fans of his incomparable athletic ability. His two touchdowns hardly looked rare or spectacular. No, he looked pretty normal handling the football, running first in the open field, then outrunning the defeated offensive players. Sunday, Kenny Moore was just great, and he won that game for the Colts. I said a couple weeks ago that to win in this league, you have to be good, but you also have to be lucky. Luck certainly wasn't on the Colts' side in the Browns game 2 weeks ago, but the tides changed a bit in Carolina. There, the Colts seemed to get most of the breaks, finally. Early in the game, the Panthers jumped offsides on fourth down. The drive was extended, and that same drive, Gardner Minshew was on the run. He slid, and the defender jumped over him but made contact. The call was roughing the passer, but I thought it was, pretty generous. The two costly penalties helped the Colts reach the one-yard line. However, a Colts penalty brought them back to the 7, where Matt Gay connected on a field goal. I realize it was just 3 points, but two different boneheaded plays by the Panthers allowed the Colts to retain possession, effectively pushing them onward for the 3-point score. I'm not saying the Colts didn't deserve to win, but it sure seemed like the whistles were much more generous in Carolina Sunday than they had been in Indy the past 2 weeks. And the Colts needed that. They needed some breaks to finally go their way. And when the flags weren't flying in their direction, rookie quarterback Bryce Young was throwing the ball to Kenny Moore's direction, and he took it and capitalized. Luck seems to be a real palpable factor in wins and losses on Sundays. It was nice to see some things finally go our way. It was a good win Sunday, and after 3 straight losses, I would take just about any kind of victory outside of something scandalously immoral. But I think we need to be careful not to mount unreasonably high hopes on that victory. I'm worried it might be fool's gold. Carolina, by all accounts, is a bad football team. I wondered what Frank was thinking during that game. Better yet, I wonder what he thought when he arrived in Carolina after leaving Indy. The Colts haven't won much recently, but there is some good talent in Indianapolis. The Colts had 7 Pro Bowlers in 21 and 5 All-Pros, if you remember that. There is supreme talent, good talent, at every level of the defense. On the offensive side of the ball, the Colts have been criticized for the lack of skill players, yet they have one of the top 5 running backs in the league. Michael Pittman Jr. is consistent and tough, an unquestioned leader on this team. No one has emerged from the tight end room, but there is an abundance of talent there too. The Indy roster is stacked with talent top to bottom, yet I never really thought of this team that way until I saw them matched with Carolina. The Panthers have like one good player. Brian Burns, the edge rusher from Florida State, is like the one good player on the team. I think Bryce Young is going to be okay, although he played pretty poorly Sunday and really hasn't been great all season. Outside of those two guys, they have Adam Thielen. So maybe their 3rd best player on the team is a 33-year-old white receiver. Oh, gosh. A year ago, Jim Irsay fired Colts head coach Frank Reich. In his place, Big Jim named TV personality Jeff Saturday interim coach. That same week, the Colts traveled to Vegas and beat the Raiders. For about 2.5 seconds, it seemed like Jeff Saturday would save the season. Then the Colts went on to lose the rest of their games. As it turned out, the Colts just played with some juice that week and beat a bad Raiders football team. Again, I'm thankful for Sunday's win, but I don't want to get carried away here. The Panthers are bad, real bad. They entered the game as one of the worst teams in the league against the run. Since week 1, every team has outgained them on the ground, but that trend ended Sunday when Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders ran for more yards than Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss. Nearly every week this season, PFF has ranked the Colts' offensive line in the top 10. This should have been a smash performance for the Colts' running backs against a poor defense, but they struggled. JT got the receiving touchdown, but only ran for 47 yards on 18 carries. That is 2.6 yards per carry. Zach Moss was far behind with only 26 rushing yards. Although the Panthers trailed for most of the game and should have been passing, they still had nearly double the rushing yards as the Colts. That's kind of embarrassing. One reporter said about Sunday's performance that Kenny Moore covered a multitude of sins, and it was like that. That's accurate because this was not a well-played game by the Colts. The previous three games, the Colts surrendered at least 37 points in each contest, largely because of the inept cornerback play. However, the Colts' corners bucked that trend and fared pretty well in Carolina. Once again, it was a welcomed change, but I would caution you from betting your house that this continues. Again, the Panthers' best receiver is the aging Adam Thielen, who plays mostly in the slot. That's where Kenny plays, and he had him on lockdown. Also, the Colts' defensive line was able to bull rush the weaker opposition and finally get some pressure. This left the rookie quarterback with less time and fewer decisions to make. Bryce Young struggled under pressure and turned the ball over at the most inopportune times possible. I do not think the Colts' cornerback problems are fixed. Tony Brown entered the concussion protocol early in the game. That left Daryl Baker Jr. and Jalen Jones to handle the outside while Kenny covered the slot. The Colts' struggling outside corners looked good but simply were not tested. Two of Bryce Young's pass attempts went for touchdowns the other way, stretching a big wide comfort blanket over an otherwise shaky performance. The Colts' run game was unimpressive, the defense was untested and marginally okay, but Kenny Moore's two-interception, two-touchdown game was the thing of legends. Kenny single-handedly overshadowed the poor Colts' performance while mathematically winning the game and putting away Frank's new team. Let me say this again, a win in any shape in this league is hard to find, and when you get it, you celebrate it. Sunday's game is a win worth celebrating. I'm also suggesting that maybe everything on the Colts' side of the football is not fixed. When I was a child, I thought there would be more opportunities to be lost in the desert. I'm not sure why that was such a prevalent image seen in 90s media, but for whatever reason, it was. It was a prevalent scene, and the character would be wandering around, hot and thirsty, on an unnamed desert. Then he would see a glistening pool of crystal clear water. Without considering why the pool was so out of place, he would gather his strength, run toward the pool, and jump in. After his broken body pounced the sandy surface and his open mouth was filled with this salty substance, he realized at last that there was no water at all, and he had fallen victim to a hallucination. It was a mirage. I'm a little worried that for Colts fans, the Panthers game might look like that beautiful glistening pool in an otherwise sweaty desert. Mirage or no mirage, it counts as a win. And I think we should celebrate it. We should also think about what we can learn going forward. Minshew in the passing game has struggled. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not sure there's really anything to do about it right now. I do wish Alec Pierce was more involved. He needs to create a bit more separation, and he needs to catch the balls thrown his way. Maybe you should watch some Kenny Moore tape. I don't know. I'm not really sure why the run game struggled so much. Maybe that was the focus of the Carolina defense. But this Colts team should be one to overcome such a meager obstacle. The Patriots should pose a much more difficult contest Sunday in Germany, specifically against the run game. On the other side of the ball, it was nice to see the cornerbacks not get toasted. We also saw what Kenny can do when he's in his element in the slot. Maybe those two interceptions refute the notion that he should be moved on the outside until Juju Brents comes back. If we do keep Kenny in the slot, I would like to see Daryl Baker Jr. get another chance on the outside. Whatever the plan is, I pray that it does not involve Tony Brown. No offense, my man, but we just can't go back there again. One final note about Kenny Moore. I heard him Wednesday morning on an interview with Kevin Bowen. Kevin asked him how he got the name Lightning in a Bottle. He said former defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus first called him that in 2018. After the game Sunday, Eberflus texted Kenny to congratulate him, and I just think that's pretty cool. This week, the Colts travel to Germany to face the Patriots. The game will air Sunday at 9:30 a.m., for goodness sakes. The Patriots have been just an awful team this year. Awful. Currently, they are 2-7 with just no path to do anything significant this year outside of securing a high draft pick. That said, I do think this will be a stiffer opponent than the Panthers were. Historically, the Patriots have had such consistent success against the Colts. It's hard to say how this one will unfold. Let's hope the offense establishes the run. I'd like to see a couple deep shots early to stretch the defense. Those should be calculated plans, though, with extra blockers accounting for pressure. On the defense, goodness, Gus needs to turn up the pressure. Turn it up. Send Kenny, send EJ, send Blue if you want to. They have to get somebody in the backfield and force Mac Jones to make some bad decisions. He's willing and ready. Let's just help him do it. Come back next week, Colts fans, and hopefully we'll be talking about a victory in Germany. Take care and go Colts. This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.